From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, incumbents came out on top in yesterday's primaries. We'll have a wrap-up.
But first to the crisis in Iraq, which is adding to instability across the region. There's news today of an explosion at a hotel in Beirut, Lebanon. There are reports today that Syrian warplanes carried out a cross-border attack on Iraqi towns. While in Baghdad, Iraq's Shiite Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is rejecting calls for a new unity government to help counter an offensive by Sunni-led militants in the country. But what about countries like Turkey, which borders both Iraq and Syria and has a large Kurdish population? NPR's Peter Kenyon is in Istanbul, Turkey. And Peter, is there a concern in Turkey that because the country opened its borders after the uprising in Syria started a few years ago to allow rebels to go and fight in Syria, that has now backfired and worsened the crisis in Iraq?
That's certainly criticism being leveled at the government here, yes, definitely. Turkey has struggled with huge numbers of Syrian refugees already, but there has also been quite a bit of traffic of rebel fighters, some of them moderate, some of them quite a bit more extreme. And now that the extremists have burst over the Syrian border into Iraq, there's much more concern about blowback coming into Turkey and also how Turkey will protect its own borders, which is raising a whole new set of problems. We're seeing Prime Minister Erdogan take a much more cautious line than he did on Syria, where he was quite gung-ho, demanding military action. Not the case in Iraq. He's saying no airstrikes, certainly no U.S. drone strikes from Turkish territory. So he's taking a very different tack.
Well, and we know that one of the issues on the border with Turkey is the Kurdish part of Iraq, and whether that may spill over into Turkey, and maybe they'll want to take over the Kurdish part of Turkey. What's the fear there and what's happening?
I don't think the fear is that exactly. In fact, quite the opposite. We're seeing a much warmer trend in the relations between Ankara and Erbil in northern Iraq. There is an effort even to make peace with their own Kurdish minority. That is not going so well for Turkey, but they do hope to keep that going. There's a bill coming into parliament now with more pro-Kurdish rights, for instance. So Prime Minister Erdogan is, in fact, making much more of a move toward the Kurds than any of his predecessors ever have, and it really is kind of a remarkable sea change in those relations.
Peter, what is the pressure on Prime Minister Erdogan when it comes to making some sort of a deal?
Well, the pressures on Erdogan in terms of making a deal with his own Kurdish minority are the ones that have bedeviled all Turkish leaders in the past. There's a very strong nationalist sentiment. I mean, the word Kurdistan, as your guest there was alluding, was a four-letter word for many years in Turkey. You just couldn't utter it. But now we have Kurdish language broadcasts. There are universities in southeastern Turkey teaching exclusively in Kurdish. So there has been incremental progress. People are getting used to the idea of a rapprochement. With elections coming up this summer, the question is whether they can pull it off.
How are the other countries in the region being affected by this? We're talking about one country, Turkey, that's a big one and borders both Syria and Iraq. But what about all the other countries in the region?
It's a worry all the way around the clock, whichever way you look. Lebanon may be the most vulnerable. It's perennially the least stable government in the area. Now we're seeing more things blowing up there. Not long after the Shiite militia Hezbollah was boasting about how its efforts had secured the border and made Lebanon safer. They, of course, have been active in Syria, and now we are seeing sectarian fighting, at least on that level, already happening. It wouldn't take much to push Lebanon over the edge, a move by northern Sunnis in Lebanon or something else, or a move in by ISIS. Anything like that could tip it over the edge. Now, we're also seeing big problems in Iran, which has been enjoying a lot more clout in Iraq, but now they're wondering if they really need to keep supporting Nouri al-Maliki. They want, of course, to keep the Shia in charge in Iraq. They do not want the Sunnis back on their border in charge of Iraq. But they are not necessarily supporting al-Maliki personally. So the question is his star fading? And does the international community have the diplomatic wherewithal to bring Iran along in this regard?
Peter, you've been reporting in the region for years, for the last 4 years or so in Turkey and before that in Cairo. How does it feel right now compared to, let's say, during the mid-2000s when there was a civil war going on in Iraq?
It feels like people are very nervous about something like that returning. That is the nightmare scenario, this sort of symphony of sectarian violence, which is not just Sunni Shia, but we're seeing pushback now among the Sunni tribes in small areas, just beginning to see pushback against ISIS, the hardliners. And, of course, there's various strains on the Shiite side of the equation as well. So what you get is just this chaotic mix where you can't tell who's going to strike next. That was the fear. I spent quite a bit of time in Baghdad in those years, and it was quite dangerous. And that's what people are hoping at all costs to avoid right now.
NPR's Peter Kenyon joining us from Istanbul, Turkey. Peter, thank you.
You're very welcome.